hearty fraternal greetings and good wishes to all the brothers and the sisters. In our understanding of the sublime concept of Ashwins, we have made three dimensions or five dimensions clear to us. One is that they are the beginning of the beginning, meaning that which is beyond. When it is manifesting, it comes as two, as male, female principle. That is what is the twin principle, which is the basis for all further beginnings. And then it is the firstborn from the Brahman, from the state of Brahman to the state of male, female, God. And then in the third dimension is the magical colors relating to the twins that bring in variety of manifestations of colors and sounds. The third dimension that I mentioned to you was, the fourth dimension is that they are endless eternal ones, anantam, and then divyo, the self-effulgent ones, and then supernav. Supernav means the beings that are equal to each other in all its dimensions, in terms of strength, in terms of beauty, in terms of arrangement. The two wings of left and right are so completely equal that they balance the whole creation. So this equal aspect of the two wings is what is called Suparna. The left and the right wings at all dimensions. Just like we have the day and the night. The day and the night, they do equal good work. It's not only the day, the night is also needed for the fauna and flora to be grown on the earth, for volume to be built. The night energies are extremely essential. So it is as much working with the night hours as it works with the day hours. Likewise, it is like as much the ascending moon phase of 15 days and descending moon phase of 16 days. Likewise, there is the northern coursing of the sun and southern coursing of the sun at the rate of 6 months a year. So these functioning, alternating functioning, the two principles that alternate, they are equally alternating. Therefore, everything in creation is set in balance. The spirit and the matter, they are balanced. The left and the right are balanced. The divine and the diabolic are balanced. The high and the low, they are balanced. All is in balance, which is represented by the four-armed cross, where all the arms are equal. Where the arms are equal. That is what is called samatva, samana, samatva. Meaning, in that balance, all agree. Meaning, the high and the low agree, and then the left and the right agree. Normally, when such a situation prevails, it is called to be the state of yoga. A yogi is neither too high in his awareness, nor is he too low in his awareness. He resides in the heart center. Thereby, to him, the three lower centers and the three higher centers are equally, they are equidistant. And then he ensures that the three higher centers relate to the three lower centers appropriately. And then he is also in the middle of the right and the left in the heart. He is neither left winged or right winged. He is neither too high nor too low. And he moves everywhere with much facility with this kind of equanimity. There is equanimity at every center, like the equanimity between the two brains, the equanimity between, which is called Sahasrara, the equanimity between the two eyes, which is called Ajna, the equanimity between the two vocal cords, which is called the Vishuddhi. Thereby, speech is not extremely spiritual oriented, nor it is extremely mundane oriented. It's a happy admixture of the two. It's like coffee decoction and the milk appropriately mixed, or coffee and sugar appropriately mixed. If anything is more than the other, you don't get the right taste. Likewise, in creation, the best taste is when things are equal, when there is equanimity prevailing. That equanimity is the fundamental dimension of the Aswins, which is explained by the law of alternation, law of pulsation, and then the cosmic principle of male-female being equal. At all levels they are equal, and in the whole there is a state where all is equal. While vertically from cerebrospinal column there are central points at every state. Each center again, each plane has its own center, and all these centers are linked in a yogi. That's why he stands in any plane of existence in the center of it. That is what we call the golden mean principle, golden middle principle. Be it at work, he is not at a hyperactivity, nor is he at a hypoactivity. In speech also, he is not talkative, and he is not mum. He appropriately uses the speech. Likewise, anything is, it is all just appropriateness. The golden middle principle, be it with speech, be it with touch, be it with sight, be it with hearing, be it with taste, everything the middle point. At the middle point, you get the best of the taste relating to any dimension in creation. That is what is said when we say supernova. The one with wings which are equals. Just like the right shoulder and the left shoulder, they are equal. Meaning you are not like this, you are not like this. Just to give you an example, in anything, equator equal, vertical levels, and in any dimension you are at the center of it. That becomes possible when we have the balance of the opposing currents. That's why the dawn and the dusk are considered most important. The night and the day meet there during the dawn hour. And again the night, day and the night meet in the dusk hour. The two meet. Where the two meet, that is the junction point. That's why all junction points are of great importance. As I spoke of the threshold yesterday, it is the point where the outer and the inner meet. Likewise, in us there is the threshold where the outer man and the inner man meet. So this kind of meeting of two different variant energies, they have an agreement at a point. For example, in numbers there is a middle point. If there are three numbers, the middle point is two. If there are five numbers, the mid number is three. If there are seven numbers, the mid number is four. Since there are nine numbers, five becomes the mid number. సో ఇన్ ఎ గివెన్ సిచ్యుయేషన్ యు ఆల్వేస్ హ్యావ్ టు రిలేట్ టు ది మిడ్ పాయింట్ ఇన్ ఓం ది మిడ్ పాయింట్ ఇస్ ఊ ఆ ఊ మా ఆర్ ది త్రీ సౌండ్స్ సో విచ్ ఈస్ ది మిడ్ పాయింట్ ఊ ఈస్ ది సిమెంటింగ్ ఫ్యాక్టర్ బిట్వీన్ ఆ అండ్ మా ఆ అండ్ మా ఆర్ బ్రిడ్జ్డ్ బై ఊ లైక్ ఫాదర్ అండ్ సన్ ఆర్ బ్రిడ్జ్డ్ బై దిస్ ఫాదర్ అండ్ మదర్ ఆర్ బ్రిడ్జ్డ్ బై దిస్ సన్ సీ బికాజ్ ఇన్ దిస్ సన్ దేర్ ఇస్ ఫాదర్ యాజ్ వెల్ యాజ్ ది మదర్ ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఇఫ్ ఎ కపుల్ ది మేల్ అండ్ ది ఫీమేల్ ఇస్ దేర్ ఎట్ వేరియన్స్ and they have different viewpoints. The one who can best reconcile the two is the son. Because in the son there is the father, there is also the mother. In the father, there is as much, in the son, there is as much the father as there is the son. So when the son speaks, both are willing to listen. The lady and the man may not agree with each other, but when the son listens to the parents and then when he speaks, both of them find a common ground in the son. That's why the son is said to be in the midpoint, and he provides the energies of the father and the mother. Son of God is such a dear situation where he represents the mother energies, he also represents the father energies. He is with the material, he is also with the spirit. That's how this middle principle, everywhere the middle principle. That middle principle is what is called Suparna. There is a very elaborate hymn in Veda dedicated for this Suparna. Meaning the well-winged one. Well-winged one. The wing. Su means well or good. Parna means wings. When a tree is growing, if there is a point at which it branches out, if it branches out either way, then the tree can stand. If it branches out only in one way, it is bound to fall. Isn't it? Likewise, we in creation have to find that balance at every level. At all planes, when balance exists, that is called yoga. That is called yoga. And there is the balance. This balance has to be seen in respiration. You have to see the balance. Inhalation and exhalation, which are called prana and apana, they shall have to be balanced. When prana and apana are equated, what prevails is samana. Samana. Likewise, there are other two pairs of pulsations like vyana and udana. When they are equated, it is again samana. So samana principle, pranic principle, is at the heart, which reconciles prana and apana, vyana and udana. That's the best state. Likewise, if you take the five sons of light, which we speak in Mahabharata, the middle principle is Arjuna, number three. He is the third one. That's why he is considered to be the optimum of the five. There are two elder and two younger, and in him all agree with the principle. So this is how everywhere you will try to see the middle principle. In a group also you have to find the person in whom all agree. The person in whom all agree is the person who balances the group. And there are say about 11 persons, not all need to agree with each other. Not all need to agree with each other. But if you find a person who has the energies of all which can be reconciled in him, such a person is the most agreeable person in the group. That's how the in numbers, in colors. In colors, in the fundamental colors of red, blue and yellow, blue is the agreeable color. The primary colors are red, blue and yellow. Red stands for first logos, second, blue stands for second logos, yellow stands for the third logos or the creator. Between the three, the reconciling factor is the two. In anywhere, you have to find the midpoint. When you are at the midpoint, you are at that energy which is called Suparna. Suparna. The most high placement is not such a good placement. The most high placement is not a good placement. It is contrary to the most low placement. Like the North Pole and the South Pole. North Pole is the most high for the planet. South Pole is the most low for the planet. At either place it's not very easy to live. What is the midpoint? The equator is the midpoint. If you are around the equator on the planet, you are at comfort. That's how it is. The best of life is available in that belt around the planet, which is around the equator, which is called the tropics, where you have adequate light, adequate rain, adequate summer, adequate winter, and all variety of fruits, all variety of vegetables, all varieties of trees. They're all very well grown in that belt. That belt. Why? Because it represents the Suparna part of the planet. For us, the Suparna part of the planet is in the heart but not in the navel. For the Atlanteans, it was the navel. If you take to the old commentaries, they speak of navel as the center. But now the central point is shifted from navel to heart. So therefore, it's not that you are more with the head nor with the belly. You are in between. That is the heart. When you are at the heart, that's why all Upanishads, they speak of heart mostly. Mostly. So that's how we have to understand this dimension of Suparna, which is a golden middle principle. And that is what the Ashwins, they hold. They hold the two in balance. It so happened once in Andhra Pradesh, there was a great worshipper of the mother. He went on worshipping the mother. The mother gave her presence and said, "What do you want?" Then the devotee said, "Please give me what is best for me." Then he said, "This is wisdom. This is spiritual wealth. This is material wealth. Which one do you want here?" Then the devotee said, "Can't it be both? Can't it be both? It can be. It is normally people want a lopsided. They make lopsided choice. But here this devotee said, can it not be both? Can I not have both?" The mother was doubly pleased. She said, "You are the right one to whom both can be given." So he had as much spiritual splendor as he had the material splendor. If I say, which hand do you give away, right hand or left hand? If you are to give away, which you don't wish, left hand has its shoulder, has its use, right hand has its use. If someone says, give me an eye, the right eye or the left eye, would you be willing? Both are needed. Choosing one for the other is not a wisdom. Choosing the both, the best of the both. You need to choose the best of the both, which is embedded in the center. That's where even the four-armed cross, its center is very important. Don't relate to the arms of the cloth, the cross. Relate to the center of the cross, from where there is the emergence of the left and the right and the high and the low. Therefore, that is what Suparna teaches us. And we have to be aware of the Suparna dimension in any aspect of life. You should not go too far with anything, nor should you neglect any dimension. All dimensions have to be at their optimum. That is what Master CVV says, all round development. That is the one that holds everything. So that is Suparna. Then comes another dimension of assurance, Virajau. They are the Virajau, means untouched by the nature. Untouched by the dust, the atoms of nature. Because it is from them the nature emerges. The eightfold nature emerges from awareness. And awareness emerges from existence. So existence and awareness, they stand beyond the nature. Beyond the nature. At the same time, even when they enter into the nature, they remain untouched. That's the beauty. In the nature also, they are not mingled with nature. The awareness and the existence, they remain in a very poised state view, from out of which there is the dynamism. It is from that dynamism all matter starts manifesting. And it is supported by inertia. Inertia and dynamism, rajas and tamas, that is what we call. When rajas is in activity, then you are touched by matter. And the fundamental dimension of rajas is desire. The fundamental of rajas is desire. As long as there is desire, there is the touch of nature. That's why a person like Buddha, he says, stay beyond desire. Staying beyond desire enables you to stay in a state which is called a state of liberation. Liberation from nature's conditioning. Nature's conditioning emerges when there is desire. Desire for anything. Desire for wisdom is also a desire. Desire for magic is also a desire. Desire for some powers and some siddhis is also a desire. What is the desireless state? The desireless state is to be. To be. Beingness. I am, that and that I am. That's why it is the ultimate. In that state, There is no play of the qualities. When there is the play of qualities, there is the touch of the nature. We are all touched by nature and drawn by nature, and we are bound by nature, and we are twisted 8 times, that's how it is. Twisted 8 times. Eightfold twist that we go through, and we have to unwind these 8 twists. We are at the 9th and 10th state. There is beingness. There is beingness. Beingness is joy by itself, bliss by itself. And those who realize beingness, they would like to be. And even when they are drawn into action, they complete the work and they again tend to be. For example, if you see the story of any initiate, when they are at work, they get into the work with beingness as the fundamental bedrock, and then conduct and get back to beingness. Every time Jesus did an act of healing or an act of teaching, immediately after that he used to withdraw. When he is withdrawn, no one knows where he is to. He is with himself. He is with himself. He is not always surrounded by people. When there is an act to be done of healing or of teaching, he was getting in. When the work is done, he is coming back, and in that beingness, he lived as that I am. That I am is the fundamental abode of beings who are realized. They don't live in thought, they don't live in desire. They live as that I am. And that I am is the sound, the heart of trumpets. Soham. So to be that I am and not with desire. And see, among the three qualities which we speak of, poise, dynamism and inertia, sattva, rajas and tamas. Even sattva, suffers the vulnerability to be touched by nature. You are proximate to nature's conditioning when you are at poise. You know why? The inherent quality of poise is desire for comfort. The desire for comfort is also a desire. So therefore, eliminate desire and be comfortable. Eliminate desire and be comfortable. If you propose comfort to yourself, you are already in comfort. But if you are looking for comfort, there is no end to comfort. There is no end to comfort. Suppose you are offered a chair to sit. There is always a better chair that offers better comfort to the body, isn't it? Any chair is comfortable if you have the psyche settled in comfort. If the psyche is settled in comfort, it is at comfort regardless the surroundings. Such ones are at comfort at all times. They are in the palace, they are at comfort. They are in the village hut, they are comfortable. They are under the tree, they are comfortable. That's how the seers demonstrate that comfort is a dimension of your psyche, not the material comfort. Comfort in the body, is possible when you have that kind of a psyche. ఇట్స్ నాట్ ది బాడీ దట్ గివ్స్ కంఫర్ట్, ఇట్స్ యువర్ సైకిల్ దట్ గివ్స్ కంఫర్ట్. సైకికల్లీ ఇఫ్ యూఆర్ అట్ కంఫర్ట్ విత్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ అరౌండ్ ఈజ్ కంఫర్టబుల్. సైకికల్లీ వెన్ యూ ఆర్ నాట్ అట్ కంఫర్ట్, ఎనీథింగ్ కెనాట్ గివ్ యూ కంఫర్ట్. సో దిస్ అన్టచ్డ్ బై నేచర్, అన్టచ్డ్ బై డిజైర్, సో టు బీ ఈజ్ ది ఫండమెంటల్ క్వాలిటీ ఆఫ్ ది బీయింగ్. Beingness. To be comfortable is again a desire. To be comfortable. See how much we lose our energy in hunting for comfort. Comfort for bad, comfort for... See, for everything we increase our longing for comfort. Today, the technology relating to bathrooms is far higher than what it was before, isn't it? The technology, the comfort in the toilet, the comfort in the bathroom, the comfort of shower. So these comforts, they condition us. The comfort for bed. When a seer visited a king, the seer was known for his knowledge, was so known all over for knowledge. When he visited the king offered the best of the comforts, but the seer said, comfort is your own attitude. Comfort is your own attitude. It's not the bed, it's not the room, it's not the weather. And he just slept away on the floor. He just slept away on the floor. There is a beautiful stanza about it in Bhagavatam, which we are taught in childhood. And we, in due course of time, we tend to forget it now. He says, don't we have the beautiful plane of earth on which we can lay down? కమనీయంబగు భూమి భాగములు లేకున్నవే పడి ఉండుటకు దూది పరుపులే కదా. లైక్ మీనింగ్ డూ యూ నీడ్ ది కుషన్డ్ బెడ్స్ ఫర్ స్లీప్? ఇఫ్ యూ గెట్ స్లీప్, యూ జస్ట్ స్లీప్ దట్స్ ఆల్ వెరెవర్ యూ ఆర్. ఇఫ్ యూ డోంట్ గెట్ స్లీప్, ది కుషన్ బెడ్ డస్ నాట్ గివ్ యూ స్లీప్. స్లీప్ ఈజ్ నాట్ డిపెండెంట్ అపాన్ ఎనీ అవుటర్ కంఫర్ట్. Sleep is dependent upon the psychical comfort. A man who is comfortable with his own psyche, just in a split second he gets into sleep and even opens his mouth to give an idea that he is gone. You know? He's gone. But there are others who toss from left to right, right to left, and all kinds of things. The sleep does not come. You have the best bed. There are water beds, there are air beds, there are all kinds of beds. There are spring beds, there are cotton beds, there are foam beds. They don't assure you sleep. They don't assure you sleep. The hunt for comfort is the quality of poise. That's why the statement in the scriptures is, if you wish to be comfortable, just propose to be comfortable, that's all. Don't run after things for comfort. Sukhanga undalanukunte sukhanga undatame annaru. Sukham kosam em dorakadu. To be at comfort is the fundamental ruffian according to Master Jawaharlal, you know. Master Jawaharlal speaks of 9 ruffians on the way. The first one he speaks is comfort. The first triangle he speaks of, the ruffians, is comfort, money and sex. The desire for comfort, the desire for money and the desire for sex. These 3 are the fundamental ruffians. The next ruffians are ambition, fear, and then anxiety. Ambition, fear. I hope we don't have all this. The third triangle of ruffiancy is pride, prejudice, and jealousy. Pride, prejudice, and jealousy. So you need to overcome these ruffians on the way if you wish to be in light. Money, sex, and comfort is the fundamental. It relates to physical plane, conditioning. Physical plane conditioning is with money, sex, and comfort. Emotional plane conditioning is ambition, fear, and anxiety. Mental plane conditioning is pride, prejudice, and jealousy. So three times in each plane, in three planes we have 9 ruffians. Only when you overcome these 9 ruffians, you are at comfort with you. So would you like to add some more, Joseph? So then, coming back to this principle of virajav. Virajav means untouched by these 9 ruffians, you are viraja. That is the name given to the river Ganges by the seers. Viraja Nadi. The river Viraja. Viraja means it doesn't give you the sting for desire. It cleanses you of the sting of desire. Desire for anything. That's how it was seen. But all those who take dip in the river, there, when they come out again, they are normal. They are like before. So one seer, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he was asked, it is said by seers that if you take bath in the river, if you dip in the river, you are completely washed of all your desire in all the three planes and you are clean. But how is it that when we come out of the river, that we remain again as before? Then Ramakrishna said, when you are in the river, the principle of desire doesn't touch you. It awaits at the bank. So when you go to the bank, again the desire comes and touches you. So try to be in the river all the time, he said. So how to be in the river all the time? Then he explains the river is inside, moving. See, there is a downward flow of energies and there is an upward flow of energies, and it is a cyclical process of downward flow and upward flow. We remain in it. The downward flow is called ga. The upward flow is also called ga. Ga stands for movement. So Ganga means it is the movement of downward and upward flow of the energies of awareness. The flow of awareness is from head to Mooladhara, from Mooladhara to head. Be in it, then you are untouched by the eightfold nature. What is important for us here is viraja. Viraja means as we awaken, are we touched by desire? Are we touched by goodwill? That's the question. The moment we think what we desire, what we want, you are touched by nature. As we awake in the as we are awakened in the morning, when we recollect what we want, you are touched by nature. because that is where the rajas springs, and then you are pushed into the eightfold nature. But if you wake up in the morning and you think, what am I to do? What am I to do? Not for you, but for others. That's what one of these quotes I give. Replace self-will by goodwill. Replace self-will, which is selfish. Replace it by goodwill. What am I to offer today? Every day is an opportunity to offer something to the surroundings, not to gather from the surroundings. If you are trying to offer to the surroundings, you remain in a viraja state. If you are in a state of receiving all the time from the surroundings, you are in a raja state. Rajas. So the word raja also comes from rajas. Raja means the king. The king is full of rajas. But fortunately, he carries along with him the guru or the prophet or the initiate or the priest. See, in the olden times, the priests were conducting the kingdoms. The priests were conducting kingdoms because a priest means a wise man who doesn't need anything for himself. A true wise man is one who doesn't need anything for himself, he is for others. That's why his name in Sanskrit is also Purohita, meaning the one who cares for the welfare of the Pura city or the kingdom. So when you care for the welfare of the being surrounding, your state is beyond this triangular qualities. When you care for yourself, you are already into the triangle. The moment you care for you are into the triangle. When you care for others, you are above the triangle. That is a simple technique. But all simple things are difficult, you know. They're seemingly simple, but we are trained otherwise. We are trained otherwise. Therefore, it is not anymore simple. So here the Aswins, they are by nature, they are for others. They have nothing for themselves. They have nothing for themselves. They are only for others. But a prestigious status that they are for others, not for them. Did not Jesus say, don't weep for me, weep for yourself? He said, there is no need to weep for him because he knows what is happening with him. He is for others and he is eternal. He joined eternity. We are for ourselves, so we cannot join eternity, we keep dying. That's the difference. So this dimension of viraja is the fundamental dimension of male-female God. Male-female energy. Are the aspirants, they don't need anything. But they are the ones from whom everything comes out. So, when you need something, then you need it to be guided by some other. Isn't it? That's why in the original governance of humanity, the initiates were governing. When the initiates govern, they govern for the welfare of the beings. They don't care for themselves. That's why even in the Jewish system, if you see, originally there were prophets, there were no kings. Later, in the process of involution, there were kings and the prophets. and the kings are guided by the prophets. As long as a king is guided by the prophet, the kingdom is in good order. Why? Because the king is always moderated by the prophet, that he won't work for himself. He won't amass wealth for himself. He won't build palaces for himself. He won't try to have as much jewelry for his lady as possible. All those ignorant games would not happen when you are under the direction of a prophet. Slowly the prophets were elbowed out, because to the king it was not comfortable with this kind of prophet around, who just moves around with a robe on him, that's all. What is this personification of a prophet? A robe and a staff, that's it. ఓ గంగలు కప్పుకుని ఒక కర్ర పట్టుకుని పడతాడు అంతే కదా. సో టు హిమ్ ఇట్స్ వెరీ ది ఎంటైర్ నేచర్స్ వెల్త్ ఈజ్ అవైలబుల్ టు ది కింగ్ అండ్ దిస్ మ్యాన్ ఈజ్ ఎ ఫిల్టర్ ఫర్ హిమ్. సో హీ స్లోలీ ఎల్బోడ్ హిమ్ అవుట్. సో దేర్ఫర్ ప్రాఫిట్స్ బికేమ్ డిస్టెంట్. దట్స్ వై వీ హ్యావ్ ది ప్రీస్ట్ సిస్టమ్ అండ్ ది కింగ్లీ సిస్టమ్. But slowly, as the involution came through, even the priests turned out to be like kings. They built their own empires, isn't it? They built their own empire. They have their own pomp. They also have palaces. A palace for king, a palace for the pope. What is it? That is Kali Yuga. There may be a palace for the king, but the prophet should remain away from the activity of people and available in the nearby places where he makes a very humble living, available for advice. So when they are distant, the kings played their own game. And that is what we have today in a different manner. Why I am saying this is Raja means desire. A man who is very desirous, we say in Telugu and in Sanskrit, he has a lot of rajas in him. But it's all rajas in him. Yanta rajas unte, anta tirutu unte, anta prapanchala pade, pusukuntu unte. When you are in rajas, you are involved into nature. You become a helpless victim of nature. And when you sink into nature, then the game is endless, because you always want something. There is always something and you are restless. When you have something to be gained all the time from nature, there is unrest in you. Therefore, you are into a hyperactivity to go on gathering things, gathering experiences. You have to go everywhere on the planet if there is holiday to see what it is. Isn't it? We have to go everywhere. We have to see everything. If anything new comes up in this town also, you have to go and see that. We should see every new movie. We should go to every new mall. We have to buy every new brand, isn't it? This is all rajas. But viraja, remember this, viraja. Viraja is the state of pure awareness in which the aspirants are, and is what they supply when you regularly relate to them. When you regularly relate to the aspirants, meaning the existence and awareness in you, your instinct for desire is gradually neutralized. Otherwise, you are into an endless game of desiring one thing or the other, including desiring wisdom. Wisdom unfolds from within. It doesn't have to be desired. If you stay within, in that state of Suparna Vishwesa, Suparna is the state of equipoise. Things come to you. Teachers come to you. You don't have to go to teachers. You have already seen in the books that when the time is right, the teacher appears, isn't it? Appears. So you don't have to run for anything in this world. The entire treasure is with you, in you, and that treasure includes wisdom as well. So this dimension of beingness has existence awareness. Awareness relating to existence is what most ideal situation, and that is the one who is in it is called a Brahmarshi. A Brahmarshi. You may be hearing the names Vasishta. He's a Brahmarshi. Lord Maitreya comes from that lineage of Vasishta. Vasishta, Vedavyasa, Parashara, Shakti, Vasishta. That's how the hierarchy of. They believe in beingness. If you are placed in time at a place, there, through you, the Ashwins start working, you don't have to work. It's a beautiful state. Vasishta means the one who knows best how to be. Vaso means to be. Vasishta means the most sublime way of beingness. That's what he is. And so many things happen through him. Why? Because the awareness functions unimpeded through them. Because he becomes such a neutral being that everything works through him. The stories of Vasishta are very interesting. So also another Brahmarshi whom we call Master Jupiter or Agastya. Agastya is also of the same stature. That's why Mitra, Varuna, which are the names of the Ashwins, at a solar plane they are called Vasishta and Agastya. They are the mediums, they are the channels for transmission of this energy. If you wish to gain beingness, which puts you beyond the eightfold nature, you have to associate with the beings who are in that state of beingness at all times. Then you are no more in rajas. You are no more in rajas. And these Agastya and Vasishta and the solar plane and cosmic plane, their representatives are on earth, which we have the ashram of Lord Maitreya, which is in Himalayas, and the ashram of Master Jupiter in Nilgiris, from where CVV emerged. So that's how, when you know the importance of Ashwins, you see that there is energy in the south, there is energy in the north. Both these energies carry the two dimensions of Ashwins. That's why they are the complete ashrams. If you see the book on Aquarian Master, as early as 93 I wrote these dimensions. These are the ones who lead you to be. When you are in that state of beingness, the plan flows through you. The plan flows through you. When you are into a desire to do something, you are not in the neutral state. You are not in the neutral state. The desire to serve the plan should be replaced by the desire to be. If you stay put in your beingness, the plan works out through you. This is a second systemic existence, and therefore the most predominant ray is the second ray. It's not first ray. doing is, your doing would limit the work, but if you let the thing to happen, it tends to be unlimited. You become a pipeline to the unlimited reservoir from which the energies flow. For a doer, each time he has to collect a jug of energies into his being and then keep distributing. Every time collect a jug of water and give it to people. It's a very strenuous process. That you every time you bring a glass of water to yourself. But the secondary method is you give a connection to everyone where into you it flows. It's like having a tap. Through the tap you continuously receive water. If you are carrying like this, it is limited. But the tap fills bottles like this by hundreds or even by thousands, isn't it? Why? Because it is connected to an unlimited reservoir. That's where this Suparna and Viraja, they are the principles that give you the inspiration to be in that flow of awareness which is happening from your Sahasrara to Muladhara. When you are in it, it itself functions through you and you can be a witness. That witnessing is the best part of a student of meditation, witness. As things happen, you also witness. As the speech happens, you also witness. You don't have to prepare the entire night, make notes, and then look to notes and all that. Just open the tap up there. It keeps on flowing. That's the facility when you link up to an unlimited source. To link up to unlimited source, here they say is, get away from looking for you. Just be. It works out for you. It requires courage to let it happen. We only put our fingers in it to burn them, to burn our fingers. Let the fire do its work. Where do you put your hands in? That's the secondary comfort. So this is one dimension relating to the twins, that they are Viraja and then Vimanav. Vimana means the aeroplane is called Vimana, meaning the flying intelligence. It's a flying intelligence. They fly. Like the electrical lines you find in Aquarius, the two electrical lines. They are ever flying ones. So they fly everywhere and permeate everywhere. And then Vimana also means, Bana means measure. Vimana means they have what you call a very highly complicated measures with them by which they prepare the whole universe. Different measures. They divide the time into seconds, minutes, hours, quarter of the day, the week, the fortnight, the month, the year. Like that there is divisions of time it makes with the different measures. Likewise, they also make different measures in terms of the proportions. The wings of the birds, they carry differently proportioned feathers. and they are so very, very, very well arranged. It's not that there is a big feather followed by a short, a small feather. It's not haphazard. When you make the garlands, there is a way to make them in an order from big flowers to small flowers. Like that, the entire the creation, they are the ones who give the measures. They are that is the meaning of mitras. Measures. It is the meters. They decide the meters. The meter for the earth. The earth has its own rotation and it has its time. Upon earth also there are different meters for different species. Lifespan for a man, there is a meter. Lifespan for an animal, it is different. Lifespan for a tree, each tree has a different lifespan and it maintains the same all the time. Lifespan for an ant, lifespan for a mosquito, lifespan for a snake, lifespan for a bull, everything has a measure and it goes by that measure. Can you imagine? Who decided these measures? A small feather, slightly bigger feather and different feather. Even on earth we have different lifespans and different expressions. For a dog it's about 14 years. For man it is 7 times more than a dog. Isn't it? 98 years. 7 times 14. Likewise, if you see, now that you have the facility of internet, you can look to the lifespan of any species. The cobra changes its body every 7 years. So like that, a coconut tree has greater lifespan. A banana tree has a short lifespan. So each has its lifespan well decided. And in that species, there is a measure of lifespan. Not only that, even in this species, there are proportions decided. In a human form, what should be the measure of the head? A head of this size over a body won't be very proportionate, no? The proportions relating to the head, vis-a-vis the trunk, and the proportions of the hands, the proportions of the legs, the proportion of the forehead, the proportion of the ears, the proportion of the eyes, the nose, the mouth. We are all given ideal forms. Due to our ignorance, we distorted our forms, that's all. When the original image was made, it was very beautiful. It was completely proportional. That is what you today display as Da Vinci's proportion. He could visualize and he gave the proportion. If you are in tune with that proportion, your body is in tune with the architect of the universe. He prepared in a very proportionate manner. Normally other species, they have their proportions. Every bird has its proportions. Every class of bird has its proportions. All parrots have similar proportions. All cranes have different proportions to parrot, but they have their proportions. A crane has a long beak, isn't it? A parrot has a different, short, beautiful beak. An eagle has a different dimension. A crow has a different dimension. A sparrow, a different dimension. You don't see out-of-dimensional species. Likewise, these proportions are decided by them, by the metrical division, the cyclical division, two dimensions. Metrical division, which is called Chandas, cyclical division, which is called Kalpa. These are the two keys to Veda. They are the two keys to Veda. The earth moves around the sun in such and such a time. But it is not so for Venus. And it is different from Mars, isn't it? And still different from Mercury and Jupiter, Saturn, everything has its own cyclical movement. They don't change. For a change, Venus would not move like Earth. For a change. For us, for a change, we do everything, isn't it? We want to do others' work. To us, our work is boring. So we want to do others' work. Saturn does Saturn's work. Jupiter does Jupiter's work. Saturn doesn't say, shall I do your work? Like that. Jupiter also doesn't say to Venus, let me move faster like you, you take to a slow speed. 12 years is its cycle for Jupiter, but for Venus it is less than a year. So these rhythms in relation to time, in relation to lifespan of species, this is what is seen as the wings of the bird. It's a very beautiful conception by the Vedic seers. They said, if you wish that in you, see, it's okay with the universe, but in you, if you wish these proportions are to be restored, they are the bosses. To restore the proportions in you, to restore the meter in you, to restore the rhythm in you, they are the ones who preside over all. Not only we, even the devas. Because all are subsequent to them. The cosmic system, the solar system and planetary system, they are all given different measures, different meters. The different meters are called vimana, visistamana. Mana means measure. Visistamana meaning very special measures for very special situations. Very special measures for very special situations. So the beings, according to their evolution, their forms have different measures. We basically, when we really ideate, we see tremendous profundity in all this. Otherwise, everything looks the same. For a blind man, everything is the same. Everything is the same. And then the whole thing is divided by night and day, is another dimension. Ascent and descent, night and day, growth and recession, expansion, contraction. Expansion, contraction. So this way of causing the measures is a dimension relating to the Aswins, which is called Vimana. So that's how we have covered Suparna, Viraja, Vimana today. Suparna, Viraja, Vimana. Yesterday afternoon, I am only recapitulating so that it registers with us. We covered Divya, meaning self-effulgent. It's only their effulgence which is with all of us, with everything in creation. Self-effulgence. And then Ananta, the endless, eternal aspect of all beings. Of all beings. In fact, we existing as beings is due to the presence of that male-female principle as the pulsating awareness in us. We are no different from them. It's a grand picture and this is a micro picture. Micro picture. Ananta. And then I spoke to you magical sense, Chitrabhanu. Magical sense with varieties of colors. And without color there is no contrast in creation. You know? So all is white. You don't see anything. You don't see anything if all is white. The contrast makes you see and the color enables to experience better. So Chitrabhanu, they created this whole creation full of colors. It's a very colorful creation. It's not a black and white movie. In earlier times we used to have black and white movies. But now it is color movies, which is more in tune with nature. In a black and white movie, you don't see the color of the tree, you don't see the color of the flower. But in a colorful movie, upon a green tree, there is a white flower or a yellow flower. The contrast, it has a magical impact on us. So that's another dimension. I don't want to get back again into it. Magical suns. Sun is magic. He gives all colors. So then I spoke about the firstborn ones from the so-called non-existence, the two emerge as the firstborn, Purvajam and then Prapurvagav, meaning they are there even before they are born. This is a beautiful dimension actually. They are there even before they are born. So are we. So are we, you should know that. Whatever is with us, since is with us. We are the unborn ones. Because even before we are born, we are there. Even before the creation came, we are there. You may not be listening to it frequently in the books. Obviously, that's the truth. If you see Purusha Suttam, you know that. It's like opening, gee, see, you will all be in the veranda before 9:30, isn't it? Yesterday when I came, all were almost in the veranda. So you were waiting for what? Once the door is open, all have gone inside. Like that, this creator, whom we call the creator, he opened the door and all the beings who are in non-existence have come into existence. డబ్బ తెరిస్తే అన్ని బయటకు వచ్చేసాడు వచ్చేసాడు దట్స్ వాట్ ది క్రియేటర్ వాజ్ టోల్డ్ డోంట్ థింక్ యు ఆర్ క్రియేటింగ్ డోంట్ ఫాల్ ఇన్ టు ది గ్లామర్ దట్ యు ఆర్ క్రియేటింగ్ ది బీయింగ్స్ యు ఆర్ నాట్ క్రియేటింగ్ ది బీయింగ్స్ దర్ దేర్ ఆల్రెడీ ఆల్ దట్ యు డూ ఇస్ యు ఓపెన్ ది డోర్ దే విల్ ఆల్ కమ్ అవుట్ అండ్ యు గివ్ ఫార్మ్స్ ఫార్మ్స్ ఆర్ టు బి క్రియేటెడ్ The creator and his band of devas, they prepare the forms, but they don't create the beings. Not all theologies speak of it. Not all theologies speak of it. Beings are as eternal because they are also unborn. And when the creation is made, they get into it. It's like we are building a school, we are not giving birth to children for the school. Our Navaritam is running a school, he will take you there. He has not given birth to the children of the school, which is impossible for him. To create 400 children for the school is not possible. What did he do? He built a school. Creator built a creation into which the beings are all released. సో వీ ది బీయింగ్స్ ఆర్ ది, సో ది ఎంటైర్ థింగ్ ఈజ్ అప్లికబుల్ టు అస్. దిస్ ఐ వాంటెడ్ టు సే ది ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫస్ట్ శ్లోక. వీ ఆర్ దేర్ ఈవెన్ బిఫోర్ ది క్రియేషన్. వీ వర్ దేర్ ఇన్ ది ప్రీవియస్ క్రియేషన్. వెన్ ది ప్రీవియస్ క్రియేషన్ వెంట ఇన్ టు డిసల్యూషన్, వీ ఆర్ ఆల్ టేకన్ ఇన్ టు దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ పిచ్ డార్క్నెస్ అండ్ వీ వర్ ఇన్ ఎ స్లీప్ స్టేట్ అండ్ దెన్ వీ అవోక్ అండ్ వీ వాంటెడ్ టు కమ్ అవుట్. ఇట్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ ఆన్ అవర్ డిమాండ్ ది క్రియేషన్ ఇస్ మేడ్. ఇట్ ఈస్ మై పబ్లిక్ డిమాండ్ ఫెసిలిటీస్ ఆర్ క్రియేటెడ్. ఏ స్కూల్ ఇస్ బిల్ట్ ఫర్ ది చిల్డ్రన్. ఏ క్రియేషన్ ఇస్ బిల్ట్ ఫర్ ది బీయింగ్స్. దిస్ ప్రేయర్ హాల్ ఇస్ బిల్ట్ ఆన్ డిమాండ్ ఫర్ దోస్ హూ విష్ టు లిజన్, హూ విష్ టు లిజన్ ఇజంట్ ఇట్, ఆర్ హూ విష్ టు డూ ప్రేయర్స్ అండ్ వర్షిప్. సో ఇట్స్ ఆల్ క్రియేటెడ్ ఆన్ demand. What is created is the, through nature the forms are created, but the beings are eternally there. So you are there even before the beginning of the creation, and you are the, that is what is prapurvagam, that is purvajam, meaning you are the first ones to be born into the form. It's why your form is supported by you. You are the first one who gathered the ovum and then created the egg, and then without it won't form, and then it slowly develops with all its limbs and comes out. So we are as well unborn ones, and we too have different colors with us. From Sahasrara to Mooladhara, all colors can be experienced and expressed. Then you have, and there is no end to us. We are always there, eternal beings, Ananta. Then Divya, we are self-effulgent. Only thing is enveloped in matter. We are self-effulgent ones, enveloped in matter, and then super now. Basically, we are balanced when we came. Somewhere on the way, we lost it. So we are trying to regain it. Regaining our balance is our work. That is what we call paradise lost to be regained. And that is what is called return of the prodigal son. That's how it is. And then Viraja, the essential being is untouched by nature. It is we only, on account of the desire that sprouted from us, we got entangled into nature. That's the story of Eva. The story of Eva is the state of being. The state of the being, which is a pulsating awareness, it desired for something. So the desire makes you entanglement with the nature. But basically you need, your nature is beyond, your being is beyond the nature that is created. And therefore you are also Viraja. And then Vimano, we have different measures in us. With the essence, they create the measures. Here we remain in the measures, and we can maintain those measures. We can redress the measures with the help of the energy. And then the beauty of the essence is the last part of the sloka, which says, presiding over the universe with all its planes, you run it. Adit Shipanto, meaning Shipa means the bird. Shipanto means the birds. It's a double bird. They preside over all that is created. Bhuvanani Vishwa. భువన మీన్స్ యూనివర్స్, విశ్వ మీన్స్ ది హోల్, భువనాని మీన్స్ విత్ ఇట్స్ డిఫరెంట్ ప్లేన్స్, డిఫరెంట్ ప్లేన్స్ కాన్స్టిట్యూటింగ్ ది యూనివర్స్. హీ ఈజ్ ప్రిసైడెడ్ ఓవర్ బై దెమ్, ప్రిసైడెడ్ ఓవర్, హీ ప్రిసైడ్స్ ఓవర్ దెమ్ అండ్ దెన్ ఓవర్ ది క్రియేషన్ అండ్ కండక్ట్ ది క్రియేషన్. వీ టూ when you gain mastery in your own being, you can preside over your creation, we can preside over our creation and not lost in our creation. We cannot be the slave of the life that we build. How can you be slave to that which you have built? Build a house and become a, get conditioned by the house. Build a body and get conditioned by the body. Build properties and get conditioned by the properties. Build business and get conditioned by the business. Build professions and get conditioned by profession. Build relations and get conditioned by relations. Isn't it? We have the technology to preside over everything that has come out of us. That technology comes to us from the astrals because we are also a part of them. But the problem is we have somewhere on the way left it. Therefore we are slave of everything. We are slave of the body, we are slave of the senses, we are slaves of the mind, meaning the thoughts, we are slaves of desires. And this slavery is on account of lack of knowledge and lack of understanding relating to our original status. Each one of us is a son of God, you know. To say that there is only one son of God is only negating ourselves that status. Why should we, each one of us is a son of God? The difference is some realized it, some did not realize it. When you realize, you preside over your life, that's it. You are the master of your life. A master of life carries even the will to stay in the body according to the need or leave the body when there is no need for the body. That's the master. And anything that that comes out of him as activity, he won't be enslaved by the activity, he presides over it. And for Ashwins, that is the basic functioning. Having created such an intricate creation, they preside over it. They are not, though they are into it. Presiding means, does not mean that you walk away from that which you have created. Many people, you know, this sannyasa detachment, a wrong philosophy of detachment. They run away from that which they create, go to forest. That is just accepting defeat. Stay where you are and preside over it. Stay where you are. You can be in thick of things and yet preside over it. You can be in the thick of the soup and yet float over it. That's how it has to be. This is what they do. They turn the whole creation. Just like people who are in the giant wheel and people who run the giant wheel. It's only one man that runs the giant wheel. There are many who keep on moving in it up and down, up and down and up and down. So you too can be like the ones who turn the wheel. Your life, you can turn. దట్స్ పాసిబుల్ ఇఫ్ యూ గో డీప్ ఇన్ యువర్ ఓన్ బీయింగ్ అండ్ కాంటాక్ట్ యువర్ బీనెస్ విచ్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఇన్ దిస్ సెంట్రల్ వెర్టికల్ కాలమ్. ఇన్ దట్ సెంట్రల్ వెర్టికల్ కాలమ్ ది మాస్టర్ హింసెల్ఫ్ ఇస్ జస్టిన్స్ ఆర్ ప్రెసెంట్, ది మేల్ ఫీమేల్ గాడ్ ఇస్ ప్రెసెంట్. యు గెట్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ హిమ్, యు గెయిన్ దట్ నాలెడ్జ్. Then we can see what are the things that are conditioning us and how to stay unconditioned. The knowledge will come to you. So such is the, such are the aspects whom I wish to contemplate upon. With worship, girava or tapasa. Tapasa means I contemplate and girava means I also worship. Worship is with the voice. Contemplation is with the voice of silence. Asansami means I invoke. Today you will be supplied the text with the first sloka and also the second sloka in the morning. I could dictate to Sandeep, so he will bring it. He is printing them now, 100 copies of first sloka and the second sloka with the sloka, the every word meaning and then the brief summary meaning of the sloka. So that whatever I say will become familiar to you. From tomorrow you can hold the paper, or from the afternoon you can hold the paper. So every sloka will be printed in 100 copies. So you can take one copy each and the others will be taken by the Indians. So like that we work with these dimensions of Mitra. Now I read again the entire sloka. Prapurvagau. I will not translate again, I will go back. If I should translate. Prapurvagau. Purvajau. Chitrabhanu. Anantau. Divyau. Suparnau. Virajau. Vimanau. అధిక్షిపంతో మీనింగ్ యు ప్రిసైడ్ భువనాని విశ్వ ది యూనివర్స్ విత్ ఆల్ ఇట్స్ ప్లేస్ సచ్ వన్స్ గిరా అంటే ఐ వర్షిప్ వా అండ్ తపస్ ఐ కాంటెంప్లేట్ అండ్ దస్ ఐ ఇన్వోక్ త్రూ కాంటెంప్లేషన్ అండ్ త్రూ వర్షిప్ ఐ ఇన్వోక్ యూ ఇన్ టు మీ ఆసన్సామి మీన్స్ ఇట్స్ invocation. I invoke the aswins with all these qualities. This is how we start the first sloka. So every sloka is an invocation. So every time he doesn't say I invoke. At the end again he says. In the first sloka he says, and at the last sloka he says, I not only invoke, not only worship, I surrender to you. That's why he ends it. Ivam saranyau saranau prapadhyana. So that's how Vedavyasa ends it. Hopefully we reach that point in this seminar. So they are 12 in number and we covered one in 3 sessions. The original plan is to cover one for every session. But it took 3 sessions to cover one. But still I don't lose hope. Somewhere on the way we'll, it gets easier. It should get easier by itself. I neither push it nor pull it. It should happen by itself. That's how it happened in weekdays time in Bangalore. So it should also happen here. Isn't it? So that's the first sloka. We continue with the second sloka in the afternoon. And you will have a paper in your hand for the second sloka. And also get familiar with the first sloka. I am making them as simple as possible. Truly speaking, Sanskrit is very simple. Truly speak. And it is full of so much knowledge. One word gives multiple dimensions. That's the beauty of Sanskrit. I should not praise too much before you, but Madam Blavatsky has written an ISIS unveiled. Those who do not know Sanskrit cannot have complete knowledge. She said, "I wish that blessed are those who can relate to Sanskrit." And she, with great effort, related to Sanskrit. Great effort. And she wrote it, Rises and Veil. The knowledge is never complete unless you have knowledge of Sanskrit. And with that knowledge, when you read the scriptures, because that is the language of the devas cultured by the seers. So I don't want to speak and make it and dispirit you, neither Indians know. Please, you can be comfortable. Just because we are all Indians, don't think we know Sanskrit. I am cultivating the habit of learning the deeper meaning of the words relating to Sanskrit, which is called etymology. And those who know Sanskrit do not know in this profundity. They don't know. They have only a superficial understanding of the language, but not the etymological understanding of the language. Sanskrit, in it there is etymological key, there is astrological key. In it, in the word, we'll meet such things in the future slokas. Lot of astrology will also come. So thank you. See you soon in the afternoon. Namaskaram.